Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on Fan for Racing, NASCAR and Race Talk. This is Monday night, February the 20th, and once again, we have a really big show lined up for everyone tonight. We're looking forward to having someone in our winner's circle tonight after some big racing in Daytona International Speedway this past weekend. The ARCA Racing Series opened up their season on Saturday, and winning that race was Austin Terrio. And he's going to be on our show coming up at 8:40 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Fan for Racing Radio. So we'll definitely look forward to talking to Austin about winning that race. The first time for Ken Schrader Racing for 20 years, over 20 years. 22 years ago, they had back-to-back wins with Mike Wallace and it's escaping me right now, but with Mike Wallace and with Andy Hillenburg behind the wheel. But Austin Terrio brought them back to victory lane for Ken Schrader Racing's third victory this weekend at Daytona. Then at 9 o'clock, our guest is going to be Kyle Weatherman, also racing the ARCA Racing Series this weekend. Kyle came home with a pretty good finish, a top 10 finish this weekend. In fact, he finished 8th place in the Lucas Oil 200 at Daytona this weekend. And we'll talk to him about racing with Mason Mitchell Motorsports this season. I believe he has a 10-race schedule with them, and we'll talk more with Kyle Weatherman about that during our 9 o'clock half hour. Then at 9:30, we're looking forward to chatting with Austin Wayne Self. He's been on the show a few times. He was returning back again tonight. And we're going to be talking to him about the upcoming Camping World Truck Series race that's taking place this Friday night at Daytona as they open up their season. A lot of things going on at AM Racing, and we'll talk to Austin about all of that when he comes on the show during that 9:30 half hour. So definitely stay tuned for that. Now, joining me shortly is going to be our co-host, Sal Segala. I'll definitely look forward to chatting with him when he arrives. But in the meantime, there's a lot going on in the world of racing. A lot of things. I know late this afternoon we got word that Geico has decided to join Biaggi Domesti Racing and that Casey Mears is going to be driving 12 Xfinity Series races with Biaggi Domesti Racing and with Geico as his sponsor. So that was some late-breaking news today and kind of good news for Casey Mears. We were wondering what was going to happen there. And, of course, that answer came late this afternoon. I know the Clash took place this weekend. It was supposed to take place on Saturday night. Of course, it was rained out. In fact, the last five races of the ARCA Racing Series did not take place because of rain. And Austin Terrio was at the front of the line when all of that happened, and he ends up being the race winner, well-deserved by Austin Terrio. So, again, we'll talk with him just shortly here. But after that, it was supposed to be the Clash, the Advanced Auto Parts Clash at Daytona, and it was rain delayed into Sunday, and the race actually took place Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and Joey Logano won that race, which was pretty fantastic. Definitely looking forward to seeing what Joey Logano does at Daytona with the Daytona 500 coming up next weekend. That's next Sunday. And, you know, it's pretty amazing because Toyota had such huge dominance last year with their drivers. Of course, Denny Hamlin won not only what was now known as the Clash last year, he went on to win the Daytona 500. So, again, it's going to be interesting to see if Ford can continue breaking the Toyota dominance with another win when it comes to the Daytona 500 on Sunday. So definitely I know fans are going to be staying tuned to see how all of that plays out. Now, before that, we have the Can-Am Duel that's going to be taking place at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox Sports 1 this Thursday night. That's February the 23rd. And I know fans are going to want to tune in for that as well. So definitely looking forward to chatting with seeing what happens, to see what happens during those Can-Am duels. Now, we do know that Chase Elliott took the pole. He edged out Dale Earnhardt Jr., so those two drivers will both be on the front row for the Daytona 500. And the Daytona, the Can-Am duel at Daytona is determined is to determine the rest of the lineup for the Daytona 500. So definitely looking forward to seeing what happens during that Can-Am duel. So hopefully Sal will be joining us soon, and we'll look forward to chatting with him when he does arrive and get his thoughts. I know there's been a lot of discussion about that clash that took place on Sunday morning into Sunday afternoon. You know, Brad Keselowski dove to the bottom. Denny Hamlin was trying to block him a little bit, and it ended up with both of them not winning the race. And instead, we saw Joey Logano go to the top side, and Joey Logano ended up winning that race as a result of the scuffle between those two drivers. I know that Brad Keselowski has made it no secret that he's there to win the race, and if a driver is going to block him, they need to be prepared for Joey Logano, or not Joey, but Brad Keselowski holding his line, and that's exactly what he did during the clash on Sunday morning. But by holding his line, it not only took Denny Hamlin out of the race, because Denny Hamlin came down to block him, it took Brad Keselowski out of the race as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out at the Daytona 500 on Sunday as well. Now, let's not forget, we also have a Camping World Truck Series race on Friday night. That should take place at about 7:30 p.m. on Fox Sports 1 on Friday, February the 24th. And then the Xfinity Series race will be taking place on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time at Daytona. That also will be covered on Fox Sports 1. With the Daytona 500 on Sunday, February the 26th at 2 p.m., and that will be on the Fox network. So fans will definitely want to mark their calendars, set their DVRs, but definitely prepare for a big weekend of racing this weekend. We'll be looking forward to that racing for sure as we get the season started with the Daytona races this weekend. Now, joining me now is our co-host, Sal Sagala. Welcome to the show, Sal.
Hey, how are you doing, Sharon?
I'm doing great. I was a little bit worried whether you were going to make it or not tonight.
So was I.
Well, we're glad you did. Okay.
All right.
Coming up here shortly is going to be Austin Terrio. He won the ARCA Racing Series race at Daytona on Saturday, and we're definitely looking forward to talking to him, Sal.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty good race. You know, too bad it ended the way it ended, you know, on the red flag, but you know, I mean, you know, we've seen races, you know, won because of rain and different things, you know, and unfortunately it was a horrible accident, you know, that happened, you know, that caused it, but either way, you know, a win's a win.
A win's a win is exactly right. And actually it's the first win in 22 years for Ken Schrader Racing. And so it was a pretty big deal. And it was the first win for Terrio's crew chief, Donny Richeson. It was his first Daytona win. And the third win for Ken Schrader Racing. And I'm sure exciting for us in Terrio to bring home that trophy for the team as well as for his crew chief and himself, for that matter.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it was. I mean, you know, they probably celebrated pretty good yesterday, you know, after the win. And, you know, any time you win a race of that caliber, especially at Daytona, you know, it's Daytona. You know what? Even with the Cup Series, you know, anything can happen. You know, anybody can win it, you know, and that's what makes Daytona.
Yeah, that's true. Anything can and does usually happen at Daytona. And joining us now is our guest for the winner's circle tonight. Austin Terrio from Ken Schrader Racing is the Daytona winner in the ARCA Racing Series after winning the Lucas Oil 200 on Saturday late afternoon and evening. Austin, welcome to the show and congratulations on your victory.
Thanks so much for having me on tonight.
Well, we're really looking forward to chatting with you. Sal and I were talking just a few minutes ago. This is a really big win for Ken Schrader Racing. The last time they won was 1995. So 22 years later, you've brought the trophy back home for your organization.
It's amazing. It's amazing to hear that. That's one story, but another story is the crew chief that Ken's been working with for, 15 years, Donnie Richardson, first time in Daytona Victory Lane. You know, I'm not bragging, but it's just amazing for me to be a part of that and for me to see that. A lot of people know Donnie. He's been around ARCA for a while and been around Kenny and the team for a while. So just amazing to see the emotion on his face, too.
I'm sure it was very emotional in Victory Lane, celebrating with Ken Schrader and with Donnie Richardson. But talk about your thoughts as you're kind of waiting for the decision to come from the officials as to whether or not the race was going to continue. Was it a little nerve-wracking?
I was still working with the spotter over the radio, trying to come up with different plans, different scenarios, and got to a point where I figured, well, you know, I guess we could plan all night and still not be in a position to dictate the race. But at the same time, I still felt really confident. I think we had the speed in the car. Once we got out front, it was going to be really difficult for anybody to pass us. You know, they might have been able to stay on the outside, and, you know, we might have been able to run door to door to the finish. But as far as, you know, clearing us, I think we had enough good help behind us to maintain the lead. So besides that, the amount of time it took, or at least from my standpoint, it felt like that red was displayed for so long. It felt like we were sitting there for a half hour. Unfortunately, I think it was Fontaine that got injured. It's never a good day when any driver gets injured at the racetrack. I've been in a position similar to him before, so I know what it feels like, and happy to hear that, you know, he's out of the hospital and whatnot. But at the same time, a win's a win, I guess. And I as a team, we're going to take it. It's still amazing that we were standing there in victory lane. But at the same time, like I told you a couple minutes ago, I felt strongly that if it were to go back green, we were in a good shot to still win the race.
And that's a lot of confidence and something to be admired for you and your spotter working on those scenarios as you were sitting there waiting for that decision to come in. Now, Austin, we have with us tonight our co-host, Sal Sagala, and I know he has some questions for you as well.
Hey, first of all, Austin, congrats on the win, you know, and you know, of course, you know, everything that went along with it, you know, with the, you know, as long as it took Ken Schrader Racing to get back in victory lane, you know, your crew chief to get his first win, you know, but I think of another thing that goes along with it is the fact that it was a win at Daytona, which is the start of the season for you guys. Not only that, but just to win it at a historic track like that.
Exactly. I was happy to announce, obviously, that we were running for the championship with Kenny, I don't know, about a month ago. And I'll be honest with you, we had this race circled on our calendar, but we had all 20 races circled on the calendar. Everybody wants to win anytime they go to the racetrack. You know, everybody's got the same goal. So we knew that we had our work cut out for us. But like I said before, the car they brought here, I think, won the pole in the race here last year in 2016 with Cole Custer driving. So it had speed, and we just had to follow through and make sure we stayed out of trouble this year because they got it. You know, they got into a wreck last year, and I think that's one of the reasons why they didn't end up finishing that well. But you know, we checked off all of the things that we had to accomplish this weekend. We were strong on pit stops. Communicating well with the guys, obviously the first race together as a group. So we're really getting our gears going, I guess, if you want to call it that. We know we have 19 races left. We're definitely, I'm not being negative in saying this, but we're not going to win all 19 races, but I think we're going to have a good shot at contending week in and week out. And definitely, I feel strongly that we're going to be in victory lane again. So I'm in good spirits right now. I don't know if you guys can hear it in my voice, but we're excited.
You know, and actually, you know, going back to last season, you know, to this season, you know, last season, you know, with the Can-Am E-Series, you know, you were voted, you know, the most popular driver, you know, so then you kind of bring that momentum, you know, not only with that, you know, but the season you had with the E-Series, bring it over here into ARCA Series. So how much with that, how much different is it racing the E Series, you know, as compared to the ARCA Series? I know one of the things is are the pit stops and the longer races.
Exactly. The tires are different. Not having pit stops in the Can-Am Series, some of the tracks that we go to are obviously different. Overall, I'd say ARCA, you know, ARCA's on par with maybe the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series on how the cars drive, because they're all on radial tires. I think that's, you know, that's an important distinction to make when you compare some of the other divisions, Can-Am, late models and whatnot. That's a bias ply type of tire. So for somebody that's looking to come up through the ranks, usually they get their start out on a bias ply tire that's more forgiving, and then they graduate and everybody starts. If you want to be at the Monster NASCAR Cup level, at some point, you got to get on a radial tire. So the ARCA Series is really good as far as that's concerned. Getting getting some experience and seat time in these types of race cars, so that you can get up to the Xfinity level and the truck level at some point. But was really excited last year to get that Most Popular Driver award. Believe it or not, we got that award and still didn't compete for the full season. Unfortunately, the team I was with had some financial issues and we weren't able to compete for the championship, but still goes to show, I guess, the people that I have following me throughout the years, they're so dedicated and they voted me in for that award.
You know what? Actually, one last question before I hand it back over to Sharon. Do you feel that maybe that, and this is something, you know, that I've talked with, you know, some of the guys from NASCAR that I know, you know, it's a lot of the drivers, but do you feel that the East and West Series, that maybe that they should start implementing live pit stops instead of, you know how sometimes they have the break at the halfway point, or else, you know, if something happens, you know, they it kind of, you know, just let you come in and fix what it is. But shouldn't there at least be one mandatory, you know, drive through live pit stop, you know, because after all, it is a feeder series to get into trucks, get into ARCA or, you know, Xfinity or Cup.
You know, I guess that could be a consideration. The issue that might come up for a lot of teams is just being able to hire maybe an extra group of people to come to the racetrack and pit the cars every week. That might produce an additional expense. If that would be something that they would consider, maybe they would limit it to taking fuel only if it's a race that they have to take fuel. I'm trying to think, you know, there's got to be a way that if that is an avenue they'd want to go down to maybe incorporate it into a race where somebody has to come to a complete stop with pit road speed and whatnot, to try to teach them how it is at the higher levels, but still not have to incorporate the additional cost of an extra group of guys week in and week out that are having to pit the car. Cause you know, that does create an extra expense. And as somebody that's, raced late models, I know that certain times throughout the year, we go to a bigger race and we have to plan in our budget to hire experienced pit crew guys. And, you know, that can sometimes make it cost prohibitive to do more races. So I think it's something that they'd have to really consider, and maybe they can make some sort of special, special allowment or something different that would still get the drivers in a position to experience a pit stop, you know, coming in and having to use pit road speed and having to stop in the pit stall, but not having to bring in all those guys and create additional expense.
Yeah, and actually the reason I was asking this question is because the Snowball Derby, they have live, you know, it's a 300 lap race, you know, and they allow, life. Well, you need a live pit stop, first of all, because you need to get gas, you need to change tires. But also, I think with what happened with the rain delay last year, they're thinking about doing the timed pit stops. And one of the reasons was to try, like you said, was to try and bring, you know, to try and bring more cars in without the added expense of hiring, you know, a cup team to, do the pit stops. Because I shoot for one of the teams that comes out here from the West Coast, and I know one of their biggest expenses is bringing in the cup team just to do pit stops.
You know, it almost makes you wonder. I had this crazy thought here as we're talking about it. Maybe if they had a certain allotment of time that you're allowed on pit road during the live pit stop, maybe it's, 20, 25 seconds, 30 seconds, you know, that maybe the regular guys would be able to accomplish the four tire change and whatnot, but not create a situation where they have to bring guys in to do, you know, 13 second stops and create a situation where you're having to spend a lot of money on that. So
yeah,
basically,
if you could get the stop done
under 30 seconds, and you go back out on your original position, and if you don't, then you're penalized for it or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be really something to think about. And with that, I'm gonna turn it back over to Sharon.
Yeah, you guys bring up really great points there with regard to the pit stops and everything. Because that, I know when drivers make that transition into the Camping World Truck Series and the Xfinity Series, that's one of the biggest challenges that they have to work with, making that transition. But Austin, I want to kind of get back to talking about your racing with Ken Schrader Racing for the full season. I know, and working with your crew chief, Donnie Richeson. Ken Schrader has been around for a long time. He's well respected within the sport, and I just want to spend a little bit of time here talking to you about how you prepared to race with them and to work with Donnie Richeson as leading up to Daytona. What were some of the things that you guys did in your preparations?
Donnie's a really approachable guy. Everybody on the team is approachable. I suppose that comes from years and years, at least for him, of working with different drivers. And I guess throughout that time, Donnie's been able to, or maybe it's just his personality, but he has a certain personality that makes him, you feel comfortable when you're in his presence. So right away when we got the deal done, me and Kenny, probably January, late December, early January, when I first came down to the shop, you know, it felt like it was going to be a great home for me. I think we went out to lunch with the guys, and then after that, we spent about 9 hours in the van driving down to Daytona for the ARCA test in January. So that's all critical, because the more time you get to spend with the group of people you're going to be working with all year, you know, you learn the ins and outs of what makes them tick, what makes what makes them happy, what makes them angry, what bothers them. And that stuff's all critical, especially since we're going to be running for a championship together. You know, I want these guys to know about me, and I want to know about them. Not just Donnie, but everybody, because, you know, Donnie plays a huge role in the team, but, you know, the guy that puts tires on, the guy that bolts the motors in, the guy that works on my seats, everybody plays a pretty critical part in making all of this successful. So I'm feeling confident about that, working with Donnie. And Donnie's got a group, really, really, really strong group of guys that he's hired to work with us all year.
Okay. And I know your goal is to go after the championship this year for Ken Schrader Racing. But beyond that, if you will, and I know that's the biggest goal, but what are your expectations as you go in? The next race is April the 8th at Nashville. What are your expectations as you get ready for that next race and enter each of the races this season?
I think at Nashville we're gonna be in a situation that's a little bit different than Daytona. Daytona's restrictor plate racing. There's not a lot of stuff that the guys can do on the car to make it better. You know, to do many changes, because they've got us in such a tight box as far as the rules are concerned. So Nashville, we're gonna be in a position to really take a look at what we're really good at as a team, whether it's the communication, whether it's the car. We're gonna see what we're really strong at. We're also gonna see the areas that maybe we have to work on, and let's be honest with the situation. Every team, even a championship type team, you know, of that caliber, all has to work on certain things in order to get better, in order to beat the competition every week. So I know that we're gonna have to maybe evaluate things after Nashville, just to see where we're at. And I'm actually looking forward to that, because I think that's really just going to make us stronger for the next 18 races. So I'm especially looking forward to Nashville. And from there on, I think it's just going to be consistent every week. And we're hoping that we're consistent every week. But we're ready to make adjustments as we go to different races and continue to learn about each other. As far as the championship, I guess the points will end up wherever they end up. As long as we can contend for wins every week, I'm happy. And then we'll see. If we can get the championship, it would be awesome. And, you know, that's our main goal.
Okay, well, you've got to feel good about you've got the Music City 200 that's coming up at Nashville in April, as well as the Salem's ARCA 200 at the end of April, and then in May, you're right back at a super speedway with Talladega. Do you think you can take what you've done at Daytona? Is there anything you can take from Daytona with you to Talladega?
Definitely, we have a lot we can take. We can take to Talladega. We're going to take the same car. We're going to take pretty much everything that we won Daytona with to Talladega. I'm really excited. I've never been to Talladega before, but I think you know, I've continued to learn and improve on restrictor plate type racing. So we're looking forward to that. And I think actually at Talladega, you'll see the outside lane working a little bit better than it did at Daytona. We actually passed for the win on the outside, but you really didn't see people consistently making a lot of progress on the outside at Daytona. So we're looking forward to that. And Nashville, like I mentioned before, Nashville's short track racing, you know, we have a lot of short tracks on the schedule, and we're all looking forward to putting to use where we grew up. You know, short track racing is where a lot of
Absolutely.
Us grew up at. We didn't grow up at Daytona and Talladega, so it's exciting for us.
Absolutely. And Austin, again, we're real happy that you're able to come on and share your thoughts about winning the Lucas Oil 200 at Daytona this weekend. Before you go, I want to make sure fans know how they can follow you and Kenny Schrader Racing.
So I have a Facebook page that's really really gained a lot of following after Daytona. I think we just reached 30,000 followers on Facebook, which at least for me is huge. I know there's other people that have like hundreds of thousands, but for me that's definitely an accomplishment. Ken's got a Facebook page as well, Ken Schrader Racing. I'm on Twitter at Austin Terrio. So fans can follow us there and really get a good idea of what's going on. I did a Facebook Live from the shop today, so I really try to get involved, be involved as much as I can on social media. But especially got to thank, in general, got to thank the Schraders for putting me in this position, Ken and Ann, the Cunninghams, Carrie Shear over at Cunningham Motorsports, and there's a few other people that made this year possible for me. So I'm really excited, and I hope to have some success.
Well, we're definitely looking forward to watching you race the Music City event at Nashville at the Fairgrounds Fair, and we wish you the best throughout the season. We hope you'll come back and visit with us again, Austin.
I definitely will. Have a great night.
Okay. Take care now.
Thank you.
All right. That was Austin Terrio, the winner of the ARCA Racing Series event this weekend at Daytona International Speedway. And he's definitely a great conversation with him during their Winner's Circle segment. We're ready now for our next segment with another ARCA Racing Series driver from Mason Mitchell Motorsports, Kyle Weatherman. Now, Kyle finished a top 10 in the Lucas Oil 200 this weekend at Daytona with Mason Mitchell Motorsports, and that had to feel pretty good as well, Kyle, coming home with a top 10 finish.
Yeah, it was definitely a good performance out of Mason Mitchell Motorsports. I definitely have a lot to look forward to, and I'm really proud of our results there. I think we could have done a little bit better if we could have finished those last five laps, but under the circumstances that were given to us, I definitely will take an eighth place finish. So obviously not exactly what we were looking for, but it's definitely a good start to the year, and we can definitely build on top of that. So ready to get to Nashville, that's for sure.
I bet you are. And, you know, it had to be some anxious moments while you were waiting those waiting during that red flag for ARCA to make their decision about whether to continue the race or not. Were you kind of putting Austin talked about trying to put some different scenarios together while they were sitting there during the red flag. Were you guys kind of doing the same?
Yeah, unfortunately we had, I think it was about 20-25 minutes of time to think about every scenario that could possibly happen. So I guess exactly like Austin was talking about, we definitely TJ Majors was my spotter, and by the way, he was an awesome help. Really glad to have him on board and helping at there. Obviously, he's got stuff figured out with Dale Jr., so he helped a lot during the race. So I definitely got to give a big thanks to him. But we talked for the of all the scenarios that we were gonna try to do and what could possibly happen, and unfortunately, it didn't get to happen. But we definitely have a car that's in one piece, unlike a lot of the cars, unfortunately, but definitely have a car that's in one piece, and we can work with it and make it better for Talladega.
Okay, because that's coming up early in May with only two races in between with the Music City. Is it 200 or 300? Music City 200 that you guys have coming up at Nashville. And talk about how you guys do you have some confidence coming off of Daytona going into the Music City 200, and what can you take from I know it's an entirely different track, but are there things that you guys learned working together as a team that you think you can take to Nashville?
My thing is you learn something every week, whether it's just little stuff, whether you learn something about the guys that you're working with, or you learn something with the equipment that you're working with. You always learn something. So absolutely, there's something that we can take out of Daytona that we can apply to Nashville, which is crazy to think about. But like I said, every week that you go to the racetrack, every week that I go to the race shop with the guys, I learn something every day, every day of the week. And you can obviously build on that to make a better program. And that's one of the reasons why I go to the shop and work with the guys For one, I love working on the equipment and learning about it. And for two, you can better build a better chemistry with the guys. So it's crazy to think about, but absolutely, you can learn stuff from Daytona and apply it to Nashville. Now, we ran a couple races with Mason last year at Madison and Winchester, and had really good results there. And they added Kevin Reed, which is in my opinion the best ARCA crew chief out there. So we're going to put all these puzzle pieces that we have on the table right now. We're going to put it to use, and we're going there for one reason, and that's to win the race, and we're going to do that. So put our minds to it and make it happen. So that's my theory.
Okay. Now, Kyle, we have with us our co-host, Sal Segala. I know he has some questions for you, too, so I'm going to pass the baton over.
Hey, how you doing, Kyle?
Sal?
Yes, yeah, sir. How are you?
Good. You know, it must have been exciting, to run up, one and two, through most of the race on Saturday. Then, of course, that unfortunate incident, came up with Fontaine. Do you feel if that race would have, if it went back green, you guys might have had a chance, get back up there and, possibly continue for the win?
Yeah, it would have been difficult. It was going to be a green-white checkered. But like I said earlier, we had a scenario played out in our head already that we thought that could possibly work. Like I said, unfortunately, we didn't get to put that scenario to work. But, I definitely think anything's possible. Everything would have had to play out correctly. But we ran through a couple of scenarios, and we kind of came up with one that we thought would be the best, and we were going to try it. That's for sure. We're definitely definitely going to give it our 100% and make it happen. But unfortunately, we didn't get to do that. But like I said, at least we have our car in one piece, and we can work with that for sure.
So actually, kind of looking forward, how many restrictor plate races have you started? Is this your first or your second?
I ran Daytona and Talladega last year, so this was my third restrictor plate race, and I've learned. Yeah, absolutely. So that was cool. Have a little experience, definitely learning something still, and like I said, having TJ Majors up there on the spotter stand was a huge help. I learned so much that race; it was crazy. So whether it was side drafting or there's just all kinds of stuff that I learned, and that's the importance of, having someone experienced like that, so it speeds up the learning process. So it's crazy to think about how much I learned at Daytona, and I'm ready to put it to work at Talladega, and I think it's our fourth race of the season, so ready to get there. That'd be cool, and take everything that I learned from Daytona and hopefully come with a victory there.
And as far as driving, going for the trucks, with the ARCA series, not only the tires, but the difference, in the aerodynamics in the bodies. What was one of the biggest learning curves, for you, going from, the truck to the ARCA car?
I've only ran one truck race, and that was at Homestead. There was a big difference between. The ARCA cars, the trucks, the aero is way more sensitive than the trucks than the ARCA's ever thought about being. So there's a lot of factors that play in there that I've never experienced. So that was a big learning curve, and that took a long time to get adapted to that and get that going. But as a baseline, mile and a half wise with ARCA car to trucks are similar. But like I said, there's just the trucks are very, very sensitive to air. And so are the ARCA cars, but the trucks are multiplied by, four or five. So a little difference there.
Okay. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Kyle, now, I want to kind of get back to racing at Daytona and how you prepared for that race. I know you had some teammates there this weekend. I know you had Mason Mitchell. He's definitely raced there before, has been a champion in the ARCA Racing Series. And I'm sure you probably talked with him a little bit. Was there anybody else that kind of helped supported you as you prepared for racing at Daytona this weekend?
Yeah. Chris Buescher's helped a lot. Obviously, Mason, Kevin Reed. Kevin's been there multiple times, won there multiple times. So between those three, picking their brain, a lot of information from all three of them. You know, whether it's, you know, watching simulation, watching videos on YouTube of previous races, or, you know, obviously iRacing is the closest thing you can get simulation-wise. So, and did a little bit there. There's not a ton you can learn there at Daytona simulation-wise. But, definitely picking brains of those three people, and TJ Majors helped a lot. So he's the fourth one that, you know, helped me through a lot of stuff. And, you know, really just, you know, getting out there and making it happen is the best experience. And then that's what we did, and made the best of it.
Absolutely. Now, you're going to be racing again with Mason Mitchell Motorsports this year. You mentioned Memphis, which is coming up. I'm sorry, Nashville, that's coming up. What are the other races that you're racing with Mason Mitchell this year?
I'm running the first four, which is obviously Daytona that we just did, Nashville, Salem, Talladega, and then the bigger races after that. So I believe the next one's Pocono, Michigan, Iowa, and then the bigger ones after that, Chicago, Kentucky, Kansas. I might be missing one there, but it's a total of 10. So right now we're doing a total of 10 races with Mason. And, you know, obviously we're looking to build for that and to possibly do a full season. But as of right now, we've just got the, you know, the 10 laid out, and, you know, we're going to make the best of those, and hopefully add on as we keep going.
So pending sponsorship, there's still a chance you could race the full season and maybe even contend for the championship.
Yes, that is definitely where we're at right now. And like I said, we've got a good baseline, and obviously we're definitely looking for growth and to finish the last 10. So there's 20 races on the schedule, and we've got half of them so far. So definitely looking to build, and you know, we're working hard on that end to make that possible.
Okay, well, that's great news, Kyle. Now I'm going to pass it back to Sal because I think he has some more questions.
Okay.
You know, Kyle, you brought up Sharon brought up a very good subject, you know, and it's something that we always ask, you know, most of the drivers, you know, whether it be K&N, whether it be short track, or, you know, even, you know, truck series races. But, you know, going back, you know, a few seasons to, you know, to start the 2017 season, how much more harder is it to find sponsorship this year?
It's crazy, and it's not just been this year. It's been you know, the past 5 years have been very difficult. It was a little bit easier, you know, previous to these past 5 years, but the racing industry has taken a big turn, and it's definitely very difficult to, you know, find sponsorship for one race, more or less 20. So, you know, that's definitely a struggle, and hopefully we can get good results and good finishes. That's obviously, you know, a big portion of, you know, getting our name out there, and obviously people look for results, and then that's what we've got to do. So I feel strongly that once we get rolling and you know, have really good results and hopefully win a few races between these next, you know, three that we have, that can make it possible to go to the fifth one. So that's what we're doing right now. Obviously we're working really hard day and night to, you know, round up money and sponsorship, and you know, we're not going to give up until you know, obviously the fifth race is passed. So we're going to work hard every day, every night, and try to make that possible to go to the fifth one, and obviously so on and so forth after that. So that's where we're at right now, and we're going to keep on fighting for it.
Well, you know what? Actually, good luck on that. You know, with fighting that, you know, I'm sure you know, with some good finishes, maybe a win. You know, I know a win will go. You know, it'll go a long way. You know, and hopefully you pick that up within the next, you know, few races you have. You know, especially, you know, coming to like the shorter tracks, you know, which seems to be, you know, your, you know, more of your strength.
Yeah, we've definitely had good results on you know, just about every short track that ARCA has. Haven't won at any of them, so that's one thing that has to change. And like I said, we're going to make that, we're going to give it everything we have to make that happen. But definitely love going to all the short tracks that ARCA hosts, and very excited to go to Nashville. We've had really good results there. Have a poll there, and you know, obviously I think we've got one or two top fives there. So looking to build on that. Like I said, we're looking for to add a few more in the win column. That's what needs to change, and like I said, we're going to give everything we have to make that happen there.
You know, and actually, you know, looking back at your resume, you know, being only 19 years old, you know, that's one thing that I think going back 5, 6, 7 years, we're starting to notice a lot more is that the drivers are a lot more younger coming into the series, as you know, as you compare, you know, as you start going back like 2000, you know, and back, you know where the drivers, you know, they're a little bit older, you know, 21, 22, going back to, gosh, when Earnhardt and them first started, you know, they're like 24, 25 years old. But I mean, you know, going to the different tracks that I attend, the short tracks, it's amazing, you know, to see 14, 15 year old drivers, you know, whether it be a girl or a guy, you know, behind the wheel of a modified or even a late model.
It is crazy. Like you said, the age has definitely, you know, changed as racing has evolved, definitely a lot younger, and it's really cool. So obviously it gives, you know, us an opportunity at a younger age to progress and make ourselves better. And you know, once we're 25, 30 or whatever, you know, we'll be at our peak of our, you know, our career. So it's really cool. It's definitely, like you said, dropped down a few age brackets, I guess you could say, but you know, it's definitely cool, and it gives us an opportunity at a younger age to do what we love.
You know, and actually the racing is, it's really good. It's amazing on how mature, you know, a lot of these drivers are, you know, when they get behind the wheel at that young of an age, you know, and they race against, you know, the older veterans, you know, a lot of them weren't even born when these guys were driving and, you know, or watching them as kids, you know, and then they get to race against them and, you know, and the maturity, especially when they get behind the wheel of a late model, I'm amazed.
Yeah, it is crazy. I moved to North Carolina when I was 18. So I definitely had to grow up really quick. And obviously I still have the kid side in me. I'll go have fun and do stuff on the weekends, whether it's four wheeling or whatever that, going on a boat or whatever. But definitely when I'm at the racetrack or at the race shop, you know, you definitely got to act a lot older and you know, do the right thing when you're around fans and stuff like that. So definitely, like you said, matured a lot faster, but it was you know, it's definitely worth it. And like I said, it gives us an opportunity to do what we love, and we can do it at a young age too, which is awesome.
Yeah. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Okay. Now, Kyle, I'm wondering with 10 races that you have right now with the ARCA Racing Series, if there's any other racing that you're looking at doing this season?
Well, on the schedule, we do not have Road America as our 10, so I would love to add that one. You know, there's a handful of short tracks that I would obviously love to add. You know, so my goal is to do all 20 of them. That would be the, you know, the ideal thing. But, you know, Road America is, you know, one that's sticking out really, really big in my head. You know, obviously we won at New Jersey a few years ago. So it's a lot of fun to go to road courses. And I've never raced a stock car at Road America. I've raced go-karts when I was 8 or 9. So to be, you know, that's actually, you know, basically in a sense where I started is in go-karts at Road America. So that'd be really cool to go there and bring back a lot of memories with the family that where we started. So that'd be really cool, and hopefully we can add that one to the schedule for sure.
Yeah, that would be really cool. And even if I guess what I'm asking is, would you consider racing those tracks maybe outside of ARCA if you had a chance to do it, you know, with one of the other series?
You know, obviously we would definitely love to move up and, you know, try out and do other series. You know, obviously the funding and the sponsorship is where that lies. But, you know, obviously my goal and my future is hopefully to be in the NASCAR level. And absolutely that would be that's the dream of mine. So that's what we're going to keep fighting for. And you know, in my opinion, if you put your mind to something, and you know, keep trying and wake up every morning, you know, be focused and you know, keep on thinking about it and trying to make it happen, it'll eventually happen. So that's where we're at right now. Obviously, funding and sponsorship is holding us back a little bit, but as long as we keep on fighting for it and not giving up, anything's possible.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're absolutely right. Sponsorship is where it's all at. Let's make sure that we shout out your sponsors, the sponsors that you had at Daytona, so that they get their due.
Yeah, so we had Turn One Condos and Carlisle McNair on the hood. He's been a big supporter of mine, and for the past few years now, he's like family, so he's helped out a lot. Definitely a big thanks to him. St. Charles Glass, they've helped out a lot. So there's a handful of people that have helped out. Obviously, my family has been the biggest supporter my whole life. So Without them, mm-hmm. it would be possible. And then obviously Mason Mitchell Motorsports and Kevin Reed, Mason, and everybody at the shop, you know, they've put in their hard work and wouldn't even have made it to Daytona without them. So thanks to all their hard work and all the people that have supported and helped me, and we're going to keep on going and keep on fighting for everything we have.
Okay, I really believe that. And Kyle, I really believe that we will see you in Victory Lane at some point down the road here. So we hope you'll come back and chat with us again when that happens. And even if it doesn't happen, we'd love to talk to you again and kind of stay in tune with what's happening with your racing career.
For sure. I appreciate you guys always having me on the show. Always have fun talking to you guys. And hopefully we're on here soon with talking about the victory in Nashville. So that's the plan, and let's make it happen. Appreciate it, guys.
Absolutely. Take care, Kyle, and say hi to Miss Mason for us, okay?
Will do. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Take care now. All right. That was Kyle Weatherman. He finished eighth in the ARCA Racing Series Lucas Oil 200 this weekend at Daytona. And I'll tell you what, Sal, we didn't get a chance to talk in between interviews there, but I thought both of those interviews were pretty good interviews.
Well, yeah, they were. You know what? A lot of information. You know what? You know, just you know, I mean, you know, getting a chance, you know, talk with the race winner, you know, Austin. You know, he's come a long way, and you know, then now Kyle. You know, then of course, you know, then we have our last guest. But it's been, so far it's been a you know, really informative show.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Actually, we've had this was I think the first time we've had Austin Terrio on. We've had Kyle on before, and of course we've had Austin Wayne Self on before. It was really great talking to Austin. He was real good at kind of sharing some of his thoughts there. About racing and about the pit stops. Kyle Weatherman, I thought, gave us a really good interview with his thoughts about working with his crew chief, TJ Majors. You know, that's a big part of it. And then he mentioned Reed as well and working with Mason Mitchell. So it's really great to see him get that opportunity with Mason Mitchell Motorsports. Sal, we both know what a great organization that is and how far they've come in such a short period of time. So I hope they do find the sponsorship for Kyle to race that full season. Sal?
Yeah, I'm here, sure. You know, I'm sure somewhere, you know, they'll try to make it happen, you know, and you know, hopefully, you know, to see him, you know, back and, you know, getting that chance, you know, to run, you know, to run for the championship.
Yes, indeed. Now we got some news. Let's talk about some of the news that's kind of come up here just recently with regard to some of the racing that's going to take place this next weekend. With the Camping World Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Sprint Cup Series at Daytona starting on Friday. Well, actually, it starts Thursday with the Can-Am Duel. We know that Chase Elliott took the pole again, and joining him on the front row is going to be Dale Earnhardt Jr., but the duel is going to set the rest of the lineup.
Yeah, you know, it was watching that the clash kind of, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out what happened with Kyle Larson, you know, and he did an interview today too. You know, he was kind of wondering himself, you know, what happened.
I think it sounded to me, Sal, like they didn't understand some of the rules that NASCAR had publicized earlier. I don't know what happened there, but. I read a couple of articles on that, and it seemed like he wasn't aware that they had too many pit guys over the wall, and that one of the rules that NASCAR put into place is that when that happens, part of the penalty is that they're out of the race. They can't run anymore. So, you know, it seems like a kind of a heavy penalty.
It is. You know what?
For having people over the wall. But I thought we were moving forward to previewing the upcoming weekend, so.
I know. Well, I mean, but still, you know, I mean, things came up this past weekend that's going to affect what happens this weekend, because now the teams are, you know, they're, you can't say that they're not in the shop right now, you know, talking about what happened. I mean, it was a big thing. I mean, Twitter blew up over it, you know what, and a lot of teams are wondering, you know, well, you know, why is it so harsh, you know, for one extra guy? It's going to affect, and I almost make a promise that one team will be affected by it this week. They're going to get excited to
well,
the Daytona 500. Well,
one team was already affected by it.
Yeah, I know, and I think that was a little bit harsh. I mean, you know what? You know, do what they used to. You know, send them to the back part of the line. But either way, coming up this weekend's race, it's going to be or the duels, like you said. You know, they're going to be good. It's going to be exciting to watch them. You know, to see where everybody pans out. There's a lot of fast cars just for this race alone. You know, and you know, there's already bad blood out there. You know, they already kicked it up, so. It's going to be interesting. I'm excited for the duels this, you know, this week coming up, you know, and, you know, see how, you know, how it plays out and how everybody lines up, you know what, and, you know, leading up to the 500, you know, where, gosh, you know what, who do you pick? I mean,
well,
you know,
it is going to be interesting because for the first time, they're actually going to be able to get points in the Can-Am duel. And I think that's going to make it very different as well because, you know, they've never gotten points before for racing the Can-Am Duel. So there won't be any laying back. There won't be any testing. These guys are going to be racing for position. And I think that's going to make a big difference in what we see in the Can-Am Duel on Thursday night.
Oh, yeah, you know, one thing you ain't going to see, you're not going to see any sandbagging by the teams. You know what, you know, okay, you know what, we'll be happy starting in the middle of the field or, you know, towards the end or with the point system now. You know, at every point, and we've seen in years past, no matter what point system they use, points are crucial. I mean, look at the year that Tony Stewart won the championship, that him and Carl Edwards tied on points. All Carl needed was one more better position during the season, and he would have been the champion. You know, but
mm-hmm.
And these guys are going to be fighting. They're going to be fighting tooth and nail for these points. And man, when the end of the season comes out, I'm just going to leave it up to NASCAR, whoever they decide they want champion. You know, I'm just going to go with it because even once the race starts and the point system, I'm still not up to par in it, and I'm not going to waste my time sitting at the TV watching or being at the race. Okay, well he's here, he's got that many points. I'll just wait till the end of the day and just read, you know, who's got what points.
Well, and I think that's wise advice for everybody. Don't get caught up in the mechanics of how these points are going to be awarded. You know, the main thing to remember is that it's the top 10 drivers at the end of the first stage and the top 10 drivers at the end of the second stage that are going to be awarded points that can help them toward their championship run. And you know, yeah, it is going to be interesting to see how it plays out in the end for these drivers. But trust me, we've seen championships come down to a tie or come down to just a 1 point or just a few points difference. So every point means something this year, and it starts with the Can-Am Duels this Thursday. So I think that's what's going to make it a lot more exciting to watch. And I can't wait to see how it plays out with everybody this weekend, starting on Thursday. So NASCAR has also announced all the different stages, you know, how many laps are in each stage for each of the laps or for each of the tracks. So I think that's going to be exciting to see. We're going to see that for the first time play out, Sal, at the Camping World Truck Series on Friday night. And our next guest, I believe, is involved with that Camping World Truck Series race on Friday night. And he's going to have a teammate this year, unlike last year when he was racing in the Camping World Truck Series with AM Racing. And I'm talking about a friend of ours that has been on Fan for Racing Radio before, Austin Wayne Self. Welcome to the show, Austin.
Hey, what's going on? Good to be back for another year. It's always good not just to be on the show. It usually means I got some racing going on this year.
Absolutely. And you know what, Austin, with 1 year under your belt, going into your second year, you've got to be excited about coming back to the Camping World Truck Series this season.
Yeah, of course. I mean, last year was a big building year for the team, for me. I learned a lot, and, you know, it's exciting to be able to see the progress we made. You know, the switch to Joe Gibbs engines is super exciting. It's already been awesome getting to work with those guys, and I've been to the dyno, so that's exciting. And then we've been working on getting the second truck ready and getting other drivers in our truck. So, and we get to start off with J.J. Yaley, which, you know, everybody knows who that is, and that's always real exciting. So to be able to have J.J. on board and to get to have a teammate, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, J.J. I think is probably going to bring some experience to your team. And are you going to be looking to J.J.? Are you going to kind of be feeding off of him this weekend at Daytona? And what does that mean to you to have J.J. as a teammate this year?
A little bit, you know. I think it's going to come into play when I get to be behind him or have him behind me on the racetrack if we're together in the race. Because that's really where you learn the most is inside the race car. I think off the track, you know, he's a great guy, and I've already gotten to talk to him a little bit. And so just being able to be around a veteran has been really cool. And like I said, on the racetrack, it's going to be nice to be able to, you know, have him to lean on almost. You know, I know he definitely knows how to drive these speedway racetracks, and you know, if we're starting mid-pack or wherever we are, he's going to be a good guy to follow, and you know, have him in the 22 truck is it's going to make it, you know, just that much better. You know, he's working with the guys I worked with last year, so it's going to be a really close feel, so that's exciting.
It definitely is. And with that, I know we have our co-host Sal Segala here tonight, as usual. And I know he's definitely looking forward to asking you some questions as well, Austin.
Well, Austin, it looks like I'm here. It looks like we got you back for another season. So, you know, starting out, you know, like Sharon said, you know, with the Camping World Truck Series race at Daytona. So, looking forward to your 2017 season. You know, I'm sure you've already gone over the schedule. What are a few of the tracks that you have circled, you know, as one of your strengths?
Well, we're still trying to work out everything that's going to be going on the rest of the season. We finally got a deal. B&D Industries came on board for Daytona, so that's super exciting. Big Red also came on board. So just getting, you know, new people on the car, or on the truck, rather. That's really exciting. But for me, I think the ones I really want to point out are definitely outdoor. You know, we had a ninth place finish. It's kind of almost a wild card racetrack. You know, it's a big grabber racetrack. Doesn't setup isn't a big play out there. So for me, just getting to drive and drive the wheels off the thing is definitely something I feel like I can do. The Road Course Canada, that's another one that I've circled. You know, that road courses is what I grew up doing, and I thought we had a really good run last year. We had a few things get in our way, but overall we ran really strong the whole weekend, and definitely the Texas races. Texas was definitely one of my favorite racetracks, not just because it's my home track, but just the way the racetrack was. It's fast, smooth, and it's got a little bit of character. And I think it's going to be interesting because the first time we go there, it's going to be the same. And then when we come back in the fall, I believe they're making some changes to it. They're going to repave it, and I think they're taking banking out of 1 and 2. So that's going to be different for everybody, and that kind of puts everybody in the same position. So that's another one I'm excited for.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Texas, you know, with the repaving and all that, you know, all the, you know, all the improvements they're doing over there, you know. It definitely is going to put everybody at the same playing field. You know, there's not going to be any advantages, you know, when you get out there. But Eldora, that really, I know when we've talked to other truck drivers and even some just drivers, period, they always say if I ever get a chance to drive one truck race, it would be Eldora.
Yeah, and they're making some changes for the Eldora race. That will be interesting, too. I don't know if I'm allowed to say anything. I don't know if that's a NASCAR secret, but from what I've heard and what they're talking about, it should make the racing so much better there. And last year was already really, really great racing. Finally got the bottom worked in, and that made it a lot more fun. You know, you were able to kind of pick and choose your lane. So with what they're doing this year, I think it's just going to get better. But for Texas, man, I was almost – the repaving sounds great. Taking banking out of 1 and 2, I don't know about that. You know, as fast as we're going in that corner, I like the banking. The banking's a good friend of mine.
You know, and actually banking is you know what, it's big on tracks that, you know, that are fast. I know we got the little half mile out here, you know, Kern County Raceway, and it's kind of set up like the old Mesa Marin is. He talked to a lot of the drivers, and they say it's a fast track, and the banking is up somewhere almost around 30 degrees, you know, 29 degrees up there. And, you know, and everybody that goes there, we just had the winter showdown there this past weekend. You know, we had Noah Gregson who will be in a truck, you know, this next coming up season. Kyle Busch raced there, and so did Eric Jones, you know what. And I asked the both of Kyle and Eric, and they both said the same thing. They said, man, they said the banking just really adds, you know, that's where we're getting our speed from. But as fast as this track already is, you know what, the banking just, you know, adds that much more dynamic to it.
Right, yeah. Well, the banking's, you know, for drivers, is always a lot of fun because you know, for most drivers, it's the aggressive feel. When you got a lot of banking, you can drive the race car so much harder into the corner. And that feeling getting in the corners is pretty unique. So I think that's one thing, you know, when the driver shows up to track with a bunch of banking and they go through it, it's just different than you know, tracks without banking because you can't drive as hard in the corner. But Texas has always been unique because it's got the banking in 1, 2, and then once you get to 3 and 4, it's a little different. You know, you don't have the banking initially getting into the corner. And, it tends to be a little bit more loose in 3 and 4 because it doesn't have as much banking, or at least it doesn't feel like it has as much banking. So it's going to be interesting to see the characteristics in 1 and 2. If it kind of plays out a little bit more like 3 and 4 of Texas or what it does. I mean, you still got the tri-oval, so – you know, that has a lot of effect with how you enter turn one. So this is going to be interesting. And like I said, it's going to be the same. Everybody's going to be in the same boat. And it's always kind of fun to you know, to show up to a track you've been to before and having little changes is kind of cool. At the same time, I think sometimes you get that new banking and everybody, I think the first time they get on it, they can't get the what the track used to be, and they're trying to drive the racetrack the way it used to be, and I think that can frustrate people. But I think it's exciting. You know, Texas is a great track. I think a lot of drivers love racing there, and to have a track be involved and keep trying to make the racing better is cool.
Okay, with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Okay, Austin, I'm going to bring it back to Daytona here because, you know, the ARCA Racing Series raced this weekend, and I'm just wondering if you had a chance to kind of watch that race. I know you've raced that race before in the ARCA Racing Series. Did you get a chance to watch it this weekend, and was there anything that you picked up there that can maybe help you when you race on Friday night?
Yeah, I did watch. I watched the entire thing. With AM Racing is partnered with Wintron Racing, so they had two cars there, the 32 and 33. 32 got an instant a little bit after halfway, I believe, and it looked a lot like the wreck I had last year. So that was interesting. And then, of course, Justin Fontaine, which I've been getting to know really well. He was Martinsville. I was on the spotter stand wall in his first truck start, and I've just been getting to get to know him. So for him, it wasn't that much fun. I thought he was doing really good in the race. He was in the position he needed to be in, but it was pretty bad having to watch the 33 car go on its lid, and you know, fortunately he's doing all right. You know, he's got a fracture and a compression fracture in his back, but I talked to him yesterday. I've talked to him today, and he's been super positive. And I think that what's going to hurt him most is not being in a race car. I think he really wants to be in the race car, and with an injury like that, you know, it takes a little bit of time. So my prayers out to him. But as far as learning, I mean, I watch a bunch of speedway races, you know, rather be Daytona, Talladega. And whenever you get there, it's the same mentality. You know, it's 50-50, rather you're going to make it through the race or not. And it's 50-50, rather you're going to win the race or not. And I think when you watch the races, you become more aware of what to expect, you know, especially in the trucks, the way the trucks handle in the air. But, man, it's just wild. It's unpredictable, and it's a love-hate feeling, but it's always exciting. You know, there's always opportunity, and I guess to answer your question, I don't know if I learned anything, but it did make me think about about the chances you take when you get in a race car, and I think that's important every time you get in a race car.
You know, you bring up a really good point, because I think we take it for granted with all the safety features and everything that have been put into place. And when something like this happens, it reminds everybody that, you know, it's still a dangerous sport, and you got to take care of yourself out there on the racetrack. And at a track like Daytona, like you say, there's probably at least a 50-50 chance it could go good or bad for you. So just trying to take care of your equipment as best you can is all you can do. Now, Austin, I want to ask you about the stage racing that NASCAR has implemented this year. What are your thoughts about the three stages and the way that drivers are going to be gaining points this year?
It's interesting. I think, you know, NASCAR is always trying to do what's, you know, trying to do the best for the fans, you know, make it more entertaining. And I think they've done a great job of that. They've been taking the right steps forward. I liked the caution clock last year. You know, I think a lot of people didn't know what to think about it. They kind of had negative thoughts at first, but, you know, I felt at the end of the year, I felt like it was a good decision. And I think my initial thought was when they called me up and was telling me about it was, you know, already we're going to make a change already, but, it was a lot to break down with the segments and then with the points. But I think it's going to be interesting. You know, I think for me, when I watch a Sprint Cup race, you know, they can be long and dragged out. And now you got three segments and you got to be on top of your game for those three segments, because you're getting points for those three segments. So I think it's going to make the racing more interesting. And then for other teams, like, for the truck series, you got, for example, our team with the chase and whatnot. It gives us a little bit more dynamic in what we want to do on the racetrack. You know, I think it's going to bring more racing, but it's definitely going to take time for the fans to really understand and to get used to. It's going to be different, but I'm pretty excited to be part of it.
Go ahead.
As far as the drivers' mentality, I don't think it's any different. You know, the drivers go out there and you want to lead every lap you can. So for me, my thoughts don't change. You know, I'm going out there to do the same job I always do, and And the point stuff is for the crew chief and the other guys to worry. I don't know. I think it gives a little bit more opportunity for a championship. I think we looked back last year in the truck series, and, you know, we saw William Byron win so many races, and then we came down to the last few in the chase, and then all of a sudden he was knocked out. Well, if he would have been able to get those points early in the race, and, you know, it might have been different. So I think they're kind of taking steps forward to get the chase where it needs to be. You know, I think there's some drivers that didn't make it that should have been there. But, I mean, you look at football and you saw teams that, you know, the Panthers go all the way to the last race and win almost every game and don't win the Super Bowl. So I think they're trying to just make it more interesting for the fans. And at the same time, that kind of makes it more interesting for us.
Absolutely. And like you said, I think it's going to put a lot more, I think, into the hands of the drivers and the crew chiefs as far as strategy plays and all of that sort of thing. So it should make it interesting. We'll find out on Friday night for sure, you know, how it plays out with the Camping World Truck Series. So I'm going to go back to Sal in case he has any other questions for you, Austin.
Okay.
Sal?
Yeah, I'm here, Sharon. You know what, Austin? You know, Sharon, you know, you guys brought up, you know, some good points right now, with the segments and all that. Is there anything else that you see, you know, that might be able to help the sport, you know, as far as maybe a rule change here or there, you know, that might make the racing more exciting for the fans? Not that it already isn't. But, I mean, you know, like you said, you know, NASCAR is always, you know, ever since the Chase era, you know, they've been trying to, you know, tweak it, prove, you know, do different things, you know, to make it more exciting.
Yeah, I've always thought, you know, my personal opinion, and I always draw to the Sprint Cup Series, or I guess it's the Monster Series now. I always draw to that because that's our main, that's the feature series, but, you know, I always thought shorter races would always make it more interesting because I always look back at you know, late model racing and pretty much the roots of where we all come from. And they're short races and everybody's racing their butts off. So, and that kind of keeps the fans entertained too. You know, they don't have to sit around for, you know, 2.5 hours, you know, to wait for those last 10 laps because, you know, we all know, you know, the first 10 and then the last 10 are always the most exciting. And, you know, we shorten these races up. I think it makes it a little bit more exciting and rather it be the segments or you know, I've always really loved the duels at Daytona. So for me, I thought it'd always be really cool to, you know, pick some tracks out and instead of doing one long race to do a Saturday night race and a Sunday morning race or afternoon race. But as far as the Camping World Truck Series go, you know, I mentioned it to them. I don't know what they're going to do, but putting more trucks into the chase. You know, you got a lot of fans that watch the Camping World Truck Series, and you know, when we get down to the chase, we only have eight drivers in the chase, and I think that might have some fans not lose interest, but I think that it'd be a lot more exciting to have more drivers in there to support and watch and have a shot at the chase. You know. You know, Sprint Cup's got 16, Xfinity's got, what is it, 12, and we got 8. So I said, let's do 10. And that works great for me, you know, because I finished 15th in points last year, and 10th place in points is, you know, that's a realistic shot for me right now. You know, we could go out and do a whole lot better and run a lot better, but, you know, 10 spots and 5 spots in points, I can definitely do. So I think bringing more drivers in the chase and definitely shorter races makes it a lot more interesting.
You know, and that's what I was talking with a couple of friends today too about that, you know, cause I shoot a lot of short track racing, and actually I went back, I cut my NASCAR schedule back this year, not shooting so much cup stuff, but more short track stuff because the racing is more exciting.
You know, the shorter races. And I think if NASCAR would cut, especially the cup races, you know, cut them down, you know, to 300-mile races, 250-mile races.
Yeah. And,
you know,
and
the
it,
big
it
ones.
Doesn't even have to be, you know, the Coca-Cola 600, that's, you know, don't touch that. You know, that's a historic race. Daytona 500, don't touch that. But we all know, you know, when the Daytona duels come around, man, that's the most exciting thing to have racing back. And, you know, what they do with the at Charlotte and all these tracks where they have the shorter races, that's always a lot of fun, you know, because it takes the normal racing these drivers do. It puts them in a different position, different mindset. And it's always, you know, okay, well, I know Denny drives like this here. Let's see what he's going to do here. Kyle Busch is going to drive hard. He's starting here. He's got to get there in, you know, 30 laps. What is he going to do? And then for me, I'm still waiting for the guys in NASCAR to put Sprint Cup, or I'm sorry, I keep saying Sprint Cup. That's going to be hard to get used to. It's Monster Energy now. You know, yeah. Put those guys on dirt. Let's bring them outdoor. Let's do some dirt racing. You know, that's 1 weekend out of the year. Let's do something interesting. Have a rotating deal where we bring a track into play that's not usually there. And I think outdoor would be. I can't imagine any fan not wanting to watch the monster guys go out and race on dirt. I think that'd be awesome.
You know what? And actually, last season, at the end of the season, they went and took the Canon cars and they went and tested them over at Calistoga. So it was from what I understand, it was, you know, the drivers that did get to test, they said it was really, you know, a neat experience. So there's a chance, you know, in the near future, you know, you might see it. I know they want to try to implement it this year, but with the cost of, once again, it comes down to the cost of racing. You know, they would have to basically prepare one car just for that race, and they're having trouble filling the fields to begin with. So, I mean, I don't think we're going to see that in the near future as far as, you know, that series.
Yeah, well, I know the Monster guys, they got plenty of money to build a race car for whatever. And I think the other thing that makes Eldora so interesting is, you know, you're taking these guys that 22 other races a year racing on asphalt, and you put them in a position that they're not used to. And I think that makes it so much more interesting, you know. It puts drivers out of their comfort zone and makes them actually drive a different style. And man, it's just so much fun to go there. And it's not like any race you show up to, you know, it's a lot of fun. I think the drivers are a lot more laid back. The fans are awesome. Eldora always has a awesome a crowd there. And, you know, it's just different. It's taking these drivers out of what they're used to, and it's a spectacle to see, man. It's amazing to see an asphalt stock car go on dirt, because they're not supposed to do that, but we're doing it.
Yeah,
you know,
it is
that,
pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is. You know, with that, I want to wish you the best of luck this you know, this upcoming season. I'm sure we'll have you on the show again. And with that, I'm going to give it back to Sharon.
Thank you.
Okay.
It.
Austin, I know you kind of touched on your goals a little bit, but when you talked about, you know, you finished 15th, you think you could maybe shoot for finishing in the top 10 this year in the Camping World Truck Series. What would a Daytona win do for you guys at AM Racing?
That would be amazing. And you know, we talk about it. It's not out of sight. You know, that's not a huge leap. You know, Daytona, anything can happen. But having JJ Daly on board has already been, you know, a big step for our program. But a win at Daytona would be huge. You know, I think it would open the doors for more opportunities, not just for me, but for the race team. And you know, those guys have been working so hard to really get this team launched, and they've already done an amazing job, and they deserve it. I say that, but a win would just be it'd be out of sight. You know, that's out of picture. You know, that's a dream right there, and that's what we're going down there to do it. It's just hard to I don't know. It's hard to think about it. It's hard to even imagine what it would be like to win at Daytona.
Well,
That's a hard question.
Well, I think it would mean a lot for AM Racing if you guys could go out there and pull off a win. And like you say, it's not that much of a leap at a track like Daytona. And with the stage program that NASCAR has this year, I think we might see things happen that kind of the unexpected happen, if you will. And I think that there's certainly an opportunity there for Austin Wayne South as well as AM Racing this weekend. And like you say, you've got a veteran like J.J. Yaley as part of the team and a teammate this year. I think there's a lot to look forward to this Friday night out at Daytona. It'll be broadcast on Fox Sports 1. And that starts at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So this is, I think, some of the best racing in NASCAR happens in the Camping World Truck Series. I've said that a lot of times, Austin. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what the 2017 season brings for AM Racing and for you as a driver. I think there's a lot to look forward to for sure. So let's make sure fans know how they can follow you, Austin, in AM Racing.
You can follow me at Austin W Self. That's my Twitter, and Austin Wayne Self on Facebook. Instagram's the same. So, and then AM Racing has their own Twitter handle. I believe it's just AM Racing. So we keep it updated as much as we can. And AM Racing's got a lot under the belt. Like I said, we got some new and exciting drivers coming through, and I think there's a lot of opportunity, and I'm excited to get these drivers in the 22 truck.
Okay. I think it's going to be definitely exciting. And Austin, anytime you bring home that victory, you've got a place here in our winner's circle at Banff Racing Radio. So I've got a feeling it could happen this year in 2017.
Yeah, you got to be the first one to call me if I win, right?
That's right.
Okay, good. Because I've been talking to you for a while. So we're building this relationship here. I feel like, it's about time. About time to get a win and take our relationship on the next level.
Well, there you go.
That's
okay, Austin. Well, we'll be watching. And what's your truck number this weekend? Because I know Yaley's going to be in the 22. What's your truck number going to be?
I'll be driving the 32, and then it's going to have BD Industries on the side. So it's going to be a little different. Actually, it's not going to be a whole lot different. We're going to have the identical trucks. His is going to have a 22, mine's going to have a 32, and then the sponsor is going to be different. But I do have the Texas flag on the tailgate. So, and then Don't Mess With Texas is back there too. So we got a little differences, but I'm a little worried about the spotters. So we're going to have to do a little something so the spotters know who we are.
Oh, okay. Well, those numbers on top of the truck will certainly help. But I think 32 is a new number for you, so we'll have to definitely look for the 32 this weekend, as well as the 22 with J.J. Yaley for AM Racing. So thanks for coming on, Austin. Always a pleasure talking with you, and I know we'll chat again somewhere down the road here.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on, and look forward to talking to you again this season.
All righty. You got it. Take care now.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That was Austin Wayne Self with AM Racing, and they are racing this Friday night in the Camping World Truck Series for the Next Era Energy 250, I believe it is. And that was an interesting interview as well, Sal.
Yeah, it was a very good one. He always brings a lot to the table, you know, and always enjoy to talk to him. And you know, I know there's a lot of times we wish we had more time with them, you know, with each and every driver we have on, but
that's
you know,
true.
We just got to make the best of what we get, you know what, and kind of pick up where we left off, you know, on the next, interview.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure talking with you on Monday night, Sal. We always have a lot of fun talking with the drivers and chatting with each other. Now, next week, we'll be back again on the 27th of February after all the Daytona races. So I'm sure there'll be a lot to talk about. We're hoping to have it looks like we're going to have Clint King with McLeod Racing Motorsports. It's going to be on with us next Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. He'll be racing the Xfinity Series race. He raced in the ARCA Racing Series this past weekend and came home with a top 10 finish. So it'll be interesting to see what he does if he takes anything. He finished ninth this weekend in the ARCA Racing Series. It'll be interesting to see if he takes what he did in ARCA, if he can translate that into a top 10 finish with the Xfinity Series. But it's going to be interesting to see how the stages play out and if it gives some of these other teams a chance to maybe get some extra points that can help them toward a championship, Sal.
Yeah, it sounds really good. And that, I'm working on getting a tire guy from that worked at the Winter Showdown and actually did the Winter Showdown and did the All-American 400 last year. He also did the Snowball Derby, and he did the Montana 200.
Oh, okay, cool. So that would probably be during our 9:30 p.m. half hour that we'll have him. And I'm hoping, Sal, that we can get the winner of the Camping World Truck Series or Xfinity Series to be on the show for our winner's circle next week. So fans, definitely tune in next Monday night. That's February the 27th for our next show. And, Sal, you mentioned that you're going to the shorter tracks. Are you going to be at a track this weekend?
No, actually, my next race won't be until March the 4th. I'll be in Bakersfield for the March meet, which will be an NHRA event. It'll be a Heritage Drags.
Oh, okay.
I've been wanting
cool.
I did it 1 year, and I haven't been able to go back and do it because it's the same weekend of the Vegas NASCAR race, Cup race.
Oh,
so rather
okay.
than do NASCAR this year, I really want to go back to Baker. It's the same either way. It's the same drive. It's still a 2.5 hour drive, but I've been wanting to get back to this March meet. So I put in a request and was granted it. So I thought rather than do Vegas Cup race this year, I'll go and do some drag racing.
And I know at the end of March, you're definitely looking at going to the Auto Club Speedway race with NASCAR, so that'll be fun too.
Actually, I'll be in Tucson for the K&N West opener, and then from there, then we go to Bakersfield that Thursday, and then that Saturday, then we do the K&N West. That's for the Napa Know-How $100,000 bonus, and then that same weekend will be Auto Club will be the Auto Club 400 that same weekend.
Yep, absolutely. That'll be fun, and I'm envious that you get to go to all of that. So I hope you have a good time, and I'll tell you what, Sal. I'll look forward to talking with you again after this Daytona season opener weekend coming up here on next Monday night.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Definitely so. So with that, I think we'll call it a wrap, and we'll look forward to chatting with you next Monday at 8:30.
All right, sounds good to me.
Okay, take care, Sal.
All right, you too.
All right, good night.
Good night.